When the 98-page draft opinion from Justice Samuel Alito was leaked earlier this week, it showed a Supreme Court ready to overturn Roe v. Wade and nearly five decades of abortion access. But a key part of the record was missing. Supreme Court decisions are usually released with dissenting opinions from other justices who rebut or debate the majority's legal arguments. So what are some of the counterpoints to Alito's opinion? Let's bring in longtime women's rights attorney Catherine Colbert. She argued the Supreme Court case Planned Parenthood v. Casey in the 1990s that reaffirmed Roe. Kitty, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Before we go through some of Justice Alito's arguments, I just want to get your reaction to reading it in the first place as someone who argued to protect the right to an abortion before the Supreme Court.
Well, Peter, it's an extraordinary opinion. It's more devastating than I even expected. But let me say I'm not surprised. I knew that as soon as the Trump appointees joined the court, there were five votes of ultra-conservative justices who are willing to forsake precedent, put their politics before the law, and frankly, to dismantle a ruling of this court, both Roe and Casey, that have protected millions of women for decades.
Now, this is a draft, and the language could change, but let's look at the arguments as we see them now. The opinion says that the Constitution makes no reference to abortion and that no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision. So what's your response to that, the fact that abortion is not specifically listed in the Constitution?
Well, that's true about a whole range of rights. I mean, the Constitution doesn't say the word contraception. It doesn't say the word gay marriage. It doesn't say interracial marriage. It doesn't say the right to travel. There's a whole range of rights that have been protected by the 14th Amendment's liberty interests. And it seems to me that the argument, it really ignores rulings of the court that go back as early as the 1920s, recognizing that in fact, rights of privacy, rights to make important autonomous decisions about your life have been protected by this court. And to just ignore that earlier precedent, put out that easy argument that it's not in the Constitution, well, the biggest difficulty with that argument is it pushes aside their unwillingness to respect the rule of law, to respect the notion of stare decisis, which is applying precedent, and just willy-nilly apply their political views.
We'll get to the precedent in just a moment. But first, I want to acknowledge that Alito does say that the 14th Amendment protects some rights that aren't in the Constitution. But he says abortion isn't one of them because abortion is not deeply rooted in the country's history and traditions. Help us understand that legal argument.
Well, he is using a phrase from an earlier case that has often been put forward by the textualists, people like himself, the conservative side of the court. And the basic argument is if states ban certain types of activities like gay marriage, like abortion, like contraception, then they're not deeply rooted in the nation's history and traditions because, of course, there had been legal opposition to it. The problem with that is that many of the things that Americans rely upon for protection by the Supreme Court and the Constitution were the subject of discrimination in previous generations. I mean, remember, women were not citizens when the Constitution was adopted. Women could not vote. Women could not own property. So the fact that it has a long history of not deeply rooted in the Constitution, I mean, the reality is our entire gender is not deeply rooted in the nation's history and traditions. And yet that is no good reason to deny us constitutional protections.
Many people are concerned that other rights will be next, things like marriage equality. Alito says in this ruling that it only applies to abortion and not to other issues. Do you believe that future justices will see it as that narrow?
No, absolutely not. I mean, again, that's a political argument. The rationale he uses, the way he applies the law, can equally be applied to removing constitutional protection for gay marriage, for interracial marriage, for the right to travel. And the reality is those are already under attack by state legislatures around the country. So we can expect that once abortion goes down, that conservative state legislatures in probably as many as 25 states will begin attacks on contraception, will begin attacks on, we've already seen attacks on LGBTQ Americans, particularly trans Americans, but we'll begin to see new attacks on gay marriage, et cetera. And I think that when those cases, or if those cases go before this court, this rationale will be used to undermine them and eventually overrule them if this court had its way.
Well, in fact, the opinion goes as far to say that this should be an issue that the people's elected representatives take up. In other words, take it to the state legislatures of each state. What's wrong with that idea?
I mean, the first thing that's wrong with it is one's constitutional rights, one's fundamental rights to make important decisions about your life shouldn't depend on where you live. And the reality is a majority of Americans, close to 70%, believe Roe ought to be reaffirmed, believe that the decision to either carry a pregnancy to term or to terminate it ought to be left to an individual woman with her family, with her doctor, and not decided by politicians. But I think the more fundamental question is, should elected officials who have no idea of the circumstances of individual lives be able to decide whether or not they have children? And I think the hard part here is we all know the reason abortion is such a big issue is because the decision to have a child or not is probably one of the most momentous decisions any family makes in their lifetime. And the fact that politicians think that they know better than individuals, it fills me with rage because everybody's circumstances are different and everybody has different reasons for making the choices they do. And no politician, no matter how arrogant he or she may feel, can substitute their judgment for individuals. And frankly, Peter, that's the beauty of Roe. It said when there is controversy, the Constitution requires that individuals, not government, make those decisions.
Let's take a moment to look at precedent. I said we would get there, and let's do that now. The quote from the opinion is that stare decisis, or precedent, is not an inexorable command, and that on many occasions in this country, the court has overruled important constitutional decisions. One of them, for example, Dred Scott upheld slavery in 1857. Why should precedent make Roe immune from getting overturned?
Well, in my case, in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the court was very clear that even if justices disagree with the underlying opinion, the fact that millions of Americans have relied upon it, the fact that there has been no change in the law nor change in the facts that underlie the decision, means that it ought to be reaffirmed. Why? Because we need to have a law that doesn't change based on the willy-nilly of individual justices. The law ought to be the same over generations. And I think that it's really important to recognize that Roe versus Wade was decided 7-2 by Republican justices and had been reaffirmed some 18 times and again in 1992 most vehemently. And I think that just because these particular five justices disagree, I think is not sufficient to throw out the notion of stare decisis, because that reframing of stare decisis applies to all of our law. And if they can throw out Roe, they can throw out Brown versus Board of Education, they can throw out cases protecting contraception, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's really important for us to say that the rule of law ought to remain and we ought to give it great deference.
What about those cases, though, where it was clear the law should have been overturned? Dred Scott, I mentioned, for example. Like, how do you justify that?
That's very easy, because all of the times that those laws were overturned or those opinions were overturned was to expand the civil rights and civil liberties of Americans. We overturned Dred Scott in order to give greater equality to Black and Brown Americans. Okay, we overturned a variety of other decisions that are cited by Justice Alito in order to give greater protections. This is the first time that the court has directly overruled a decision and circumscribed people's rights, made them narrower, made them less accessible. And I think the biggest problem I have with this opinion, Peter, is it really fails to acknowledge what it means for individual women's lives and health. 25 states are going to ban abortion. And that means that abortion is unavailable from Georgia all the way west to Texas, from the Canadian border south across the mountain states to the Mexican border. We're talking about millions of women of childbearing age who are affected. Not only does it affect their decisional rights, but it really dramatically affects their health.
Catherine Colbert, women's rights attorney, also argued the Supreme Court case Planned Parenthood v. Casey in the 1990s. Katie, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Peter.